Good evening. This is Shmuel Mayevsky. This is Parshas Pinchas. The Parsha picks up where we left off last week when, unfortunately for Bnei Yisrael, they make another misstep and it cost them the lives of 24,700. And Pinchas saves the day because the plague drops them like flies, so to speak, until Pinchas, right away, he steps in. Raw mice of an iska halacha. Moshe did not do anything. Moshe was, Mefarshim get into why Moshe didn't do it. Perhaps because he was married to Zipporah and he thought he couldn't, or did he actually forget? But nevertheless, that's not the point. But Pinchas steps in to do it, and we know that when one sees somebody doing an aveira of that magnitude, bishas maisa, that while in the commission, during the commission of the crime, one is allowed to take revenge, but based on the fact that only it must be purely for the honor of God. If it's for the honor of yourself, if you don't happen to like the person, and now you see that it's a, you have an opportunity to do away with him, that won't fly, that doesn't work in the eyes of God, and it's open season on you as well, it's murder. But if you're doing it purely for the honor of God, then it's perfectly all right. But what we're told is the parasha begins in a very interesting way when it says Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. And we know, generally speaking, we always darshan when the Torah gives us information about the lineage of a person. In other words, we just had it when we said Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhak ben Kohath ben Levi. So why does it go all the way back to Levi? Because in those days, at the beginning, when the Shvatim were born, Levi was the hothead, and we wanted to show that Korach got his bad temper, so to speak, from Levi, and that's as far back as it go. We don't go back to Yaakov. We just say that he got all this background from Levi. The question is, one might ask, is that it's very strange when it says Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. And one thing that we know about Aaron is, was we always say that he was an Oev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom. He was always looking to make peace. But the question is, now Pinchas is the one who picks up a spear and he just is act of violence, although it was in the honor of God. How does somebody who is that such a peacemaker, in other words, when Aaron was faced with the situation with the Egel, he said, Chag Lashem Mochar, we'll celebrate tomorrow. He tried to appease people and maybe let cooler heads prevail. He could talk him through it, go out for a beer, so to speak, and talk about it and bring him around to his senses, but Pinchas, at this point in time, picks up a spear. And we think that perhaps this is what is, Kanoim Pogumbo. When we say Kanoim Pogumbo, that when you see something and you're doing it purely for the honor of God, you're allowed to take the bull by the horns, you're allowed to take action and kill. But what does Kanoim Pogumbo mean? And it says, V'ein halacha, V'ein morim kein. But you don't teach people to do that, because you can't. Pinchas was the grandson of Aaron. He was that Oev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom. That's who he actually was. He wasn't a violent person. He was the grandson of Aaron and the son of Elazar. He was not yet appointed officially a Kohen, but he had those genes and he was that peace-loving type person. So the fact is that he was able to raise his anger, but not because he was personally angered by the act of Zimri and Cosby, but he was totally miffed, totally angry for the sake, for the honor of God. He could not understand that. So that is something that has to come from within you. It can't something that boils over only if it's halacha, v'ein morim kein. You can't teach that. There are certain things that you have to have that inborn love and respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you see somebody do something wrong, when you act on that behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu solely, then you're allowed to take action. And that is what Pinchas does. And for that act of violence, he saved, he was able to draw close the death of 24,700. It could have been much more. Perhaps it would have been, it would have kept right on going, because the point is, we're always waiting for somebody to be the standard bearer for Klal Yisrael to show, like Nachshon jumps into the Yom Suf. But then we see something very interesting. And because of that, what happens immediately, God says, for because what you did, I will give you the Kohuna Gadola. You will be a Kohen now. And the priesthood, the office of Kohen Gadol will come throughout the centuries, will come through your line, not from Isamar, even though it did for a couple of times. But basically, the house of Pinchas will, it will emanate from the Kohuna Gadola, will emanate from the house of Pinchas. Very interesting. And immediately God says, Sororis HaMidyonim V'Hikisem Osam. Taking the honor for the what the Midyanim did, we are looking to avenge the honor of God, the honor, the avenge, the honor of Klal Yisrael. Pinchas did it for Hashem, and Hashem is now doing it, reciprocating by taking taking vengeance for the honor of Klal Yisrael. And he says, V'hikisem osam. But immediately after God says that, we see something very interesting. God takes tells them to take a census. And of course, they take the census and we get the number very interestingly enough. But we know all the time when God takes a census, it's very strange that it happened, not strange, but it's interesting that God told them to take the census at this point in time. Because as we know, God wants to, every time God takes a census, is to see, unfortunately, they've undergone a loss of a certain amount of people. And as we know, every time when the stock market dips, you take a look to see how much money you have left and things of that nature. You always want to see how much loss you suffered. And God wanted to take a census and see how many people do we have left? Do we have enough now? And as we know, in the last few weeks, we've suffered great losses. But the fact is, we might wonder why, particularly at this juncture, even though it was after the loss of 24,700 people, certainly a great loss, and it must have sent everybody reeling. Imagine losing all those people from various Shvatim. It's incredible to think how the suffering might be causing all these problems. And now they're faced with God says, Sororis HaMidyonim, V'Hikisem Osam, you're now going to go to war and take to avenge the honor of God, to avenge the honor of your brethren that died, the 24,700. Perhaps the time to take the census would be after the battle with the Midyanim. But the truth of the matter is, only God knows, as we see later on, we'll see again in the parasha when God tells Moshe to appoint somebody as a replacement for him, and he chooses Yoshua. Moshe asks him to appoint somebody who only you know. I can't appoint somebody, because the in Judaism, when the leader goes out to battle, he is in front of the, he's leading the troops into battle, as David HaMelech did throughout his battles until he almost lost his life. They asked him to stay home. But the fact remains, God, Moshe says, I would choose somebody, but the reality is only you, God, know the future, and you know who will lead the troops, but yet still be able to come home. You know who will survive. And so the answer is a very obvious one at this point. He takes the census now because God knows the miracle of all miracles. When they go to battle with the Midyanim, as we find out later in Matos and Maaseh, is that while they go to battle, the 12,000 soldiers that go out to fight, there are zero casualties. And God, only God knows that. So the time to take the census is now. And B'nai Israel perhaps should have realized that, that they had nothing to fear, that if God is telling them to take a census now, they have nothing to fear, because in the next battle, there will be zero casualties. Nobody will be injured. Nobody will die. It's an incredible feat, as we had in the first battle when they crossed the Jordan River, the same thing. zero casualties. All is possible when God is on your side. And then we get along to, we reach the point when the battle is put aside, but Moshe is now wondering, perhaps since God gave me this commandment to go and take, avenge Bnei Yisrael and go to battle with Midian, perhaps God has put aside, has changed his mind about not letting me go into the land of Israel. We haven't spoken about it for a little while. Perhaps he's rescinded the Gezerah. And God says, you know, Moshe is reading into the words of God. And in last week's parsha, he said, or 2 weeks ago, Chukas Lochein lo saviu es hamazeh, you won't be the one to bring Bnei Yisrael into. And Moshe is analyzing, as we as Jews learning Gemara, just rip apart a sentence, that you're not going to be the one to bring them into the land. Well, maybe I'll go as a private citizen, but I could still go. And God reminds him now, I didn't forget anything. The order is not rescinded. You will not go into the land. And I need you to appoint, and Moshe says, if I am going, not going into Lo Siyad Das Hashem Katzon Asher Ein Lahem Roeh, they can't be rudderless. They can't be leaderless. They have to have somebody in charge. We always see in every country when there is no government, things begin to fall apart. There's anarchy. If everybody is left to their own devices, as we say, by Hebi Mei Shvot HaShoftim, when there wasn't a Navi, we see what happens after a period of time when there's no leaders. The people began to take matters, Ishkalei Asher Beinav Yaaseh, as the Navi tells us many times. Every man does what he feels like, doesn't work, and they need a leader. And Moshe says to God, please, you're going to have to help me here to choose a leader. And we need a bloodless leadership taking over. We see, unfortunately, in the world, all these things that happen, there is always a fight. And God tells Moshe to appoint Yehoshua. Ish asher ruach Elokim bo. Yehoshua is a man who has been with you for at least 40 years. Mishareis Moshe. He is the servant of God. He is the servant of Moshe. He's been following him around. The problem becomes, unfortunately, God has to tell him, V'nosata mehotcha olav. You have to be the one to imbue him, to show, put your countenance, show your countenance on him, put your hands on him, and show the people that he is your next leader. Because the truth of the matter is, the people did not have the respect. Of course, even Elazar was greater. Pinchas had shown his mettle to be, but he was young. Yehoshua was already past 70 years old at this point in time. He was no youngster, but since he had been, so to speak, Moshe's servant, people not so much looked down upon him, but certainly did not look at him as he was Moshe's gopher, it would seem. But a lot of times we see that the person who has been following around Moshe and learned all of Moshe's good qualities, and God is telling Bnei Yisrael, or through Moshe, he's telling him, V'nosata mehotcha olav. If you will appoint Yehoshua and appoint to him, but Yehoshua, of course, we understand is not on your level. You will appoint Yehoshua, but V'lefnei Elazar HaKohen Ya'amod V'sho'a lo B'mishpat Urim, B'mishpat Urim L'fnei Hashem. There will be a three-armed leadership. It will be Yehoshua, it will be Elazar, and it will be the Urim V'tumim, even though they did not have to come to using that. But God wanted them to know that God will have his input. It's not going to be Yehoshua alone who makes the decision, even though it turned out to be that way. But that was only after Bnei Yisrael showed their confidence in Yehoshua that he was able to, they bolstered his confidence. We see how important it is when there's leadership, when there's a peaceful transfer of leadership and everybody is on board. We see how important that is in this world, in this society today. We look around in the world and see how many countries have these squabbles, sometimes these fights, and there's all these, whether we have it through elections, whether we have it through coups, whether we have it with actual, not sometimes it's not a bloodless coup, but nevertheless, a military takeover of power. It never seems to work out. Doesn't work out for a very long time. Everybody is happy, but only for a short period of time. God understands that. Moshe understands that. As long as he can show B'nai Yisrael that Yeshua can be, that Moshe is behind him, the transfer of leadership from Moshe to Yeshua is one that Klal Yisrael could be proud of and could get behind Yehoshua as long as he has Pinchas and Elazar at his side. Elazar, who is obviously this peace-loving person, the Kohen Gadol, and Pinchas, even though he is, you know, he is a peace-loving person, but he has shown the ability to carry a big stick, so to speak, to be able to, in the eyes of the people, when push comes to shove, be able to rise up and throw that spear when it's necessary. Sometimes, you know, we like to think of tough love, but sometimes this is what's necessary. And we could see that in the world today. Sometimes if you want to have peace, you have to fight for peace. It's not something that you get all the time by sitting and talking over a peace table. It's wonderful when it happens, when people can get around and enjoy each other's company and come to a amicable agreement, but it rarely works. And there has to be sometimes a show of force. We see that in the parasha. Sororis ha-midyonim v'hikisem osam. If you want them to take a back seat and understand that I have given the land of Israel to the Am HaNifchar, to B'nai Yisrael, there's only one way that's going to happen. We will have to fight for our peace. May God continue to be on our side, and may the world come to realize that we do have the hand of God on our side, but may our actions speak louder than words. May we practice what we preach and deserve the hand of God to help us through our troubled times.
Tonight's share is Louis Nishmas David Ben Yechiel Yehoshua.
Thank you. Have a good week.